Hi, I'm Onas.
And I'm Grace.
We love the Wheel of Time fandom, and we love talking about why it's so special.
Our mission is to give back to the fandom through projects that amplify the fun and camaraderie.
I thought it was we make people cry.
Yeah, but in a good way.
This is
The Lights Work. Hello, and welcome back to The Lights Work. This is Grace, and I am here, as always, with my very colorful friend, Anas. How are you doing tonight, Anas?
I'm doing well. Colorful? I don't know where the colors come from.
Where could that be coming from? No idea.
No idea. Okay. I'll have to think on that.
It's not that hard. I don't think you'll have to think for too long. Yeah, so as promised, last week we did our sort of an art review episode, and we talked about a lot of different pieces of Wheel of Time fan art that we love, and we did promise you that we would have at least one of the artists on our podcast, and we are going to fulfill that promise tonight. We're very excited to be sitting down with someone you may know from Third Age Art, Corey Lansdell, who is a professional illustrator, designer, animator, art instructor, and owner of Third Age Art. So welcome to The Lights Work, Corey. How you doing?
Doing really great. Thank you very much for inviting me. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, where? Colorful. Oh, I get it now. I wanted to make it Cosmere, but like, you know, I was like, oh, are you talking about Vasher here? Is it, what is happening here? No. Okay. Yeah.
Nice try. Anas always wants to make our podcast about the Cosmere. So it's a good thing you also are a Cosmere fan.
Yeah, that's fair.
I actually just saw, I was scrolling through your page today, and I saw for the first time, I had never seen it before, your portrait of Vin, and I loved it. She's like my favorite character. So that was really awesome to see today.
That's cool. Yeah, it's really cool. It's actually funny how like my Wheel of Time life kind of got started through Mistborn, actually, because a friend of mine recommended some Brandon Sanderson work to me, Stormlight Archives. And I looked at Stormlight Archives and I was intimidated. And then I started in Mistborn and I loved it. And then I went into Stormlight Archives, started reading that. And then I was like, wait, he also wrote on Wheel of Time. And then I got interest. That's how my whole journey started with Wheel of Time, actually.
It's like you read our mind. That was going to be our first question to you.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah, we always ask our guests for their origin story. And I think you're the first person to say that you got into it through Brandon Sanderson. I think pretty much everyone else has had a different entry point or just started at the beginning of the books randomly or the series was recommended to them. But that's cool that you came from it from that angle. When was that you started reading the books?
So it would have been 2009, I think, because I did an illustration, or maybe no, it would have been later than that, 2012, let's say. Yeah. Because I had, so my first Wheel of Time fan art I did, I think it was in 2012, and it was a painting set in the ending of The Eye of the World, where they unfurl the dragon banner, and they're underneath the tree, and there's like butterflies and flowers and stuff. And so I had done a painting of that scene. It was my first Wheel of Time fan art piece that I did. And for that one, I shot my own photo reference, and I didn't have like the actors or any kind of actor in mind. I just shot photo reference and painted from that.
Does that piece exist anywhere that people can see now?
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about it the other day. And it's online somewhere. I don't know. It might still be. I had way back in the day, I had an account on DeviantArt, and I think I posted it there. I haven't looked at that for probably a decade, so I don't even know if it still exists. But I was thinking the other day that I should try to find it in my, it's on a hard drive somewhere. I think I should try to find it and post it. Because I'm proud of it. What happened? Sorry if I'm talking too much, but I...
Oh, no, please, keep going. We want to hear everything.
There's a funny little story with it, because I'm a big fan of John Foster. I don't know if you're familiar with John Foster's artwork, but he's a fantasy artist. Beautiful stuff. Anyways, I happened to post there was a forum that you could post artwork for John Foster to potentially give feedback on. And I posted the piece there and he gave me some feedback, which was amazing. And it was just some subtle tweaks to the positioning of Rand in the painting. He was just talking about having a little bit of a more dynamic pose. So a number of years ago, I went back to that painting to try to go and fix some of the stuff that work off of his recommendations. And so I kind of like mothballed the original illustration because I wanted to make these changes, but then I got busy doing other stuff and I've never made the changes. And so the other day I was like, I'm never going to make the changes. I'm just going to dig up the original painting and put it somewhere. Sorry. That's my long-winded story around that piece.
No need to apologize. That's really cool. And it would be fun to see it, to kind of see like how far you've come since you made that first piece. And,
sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And funny enough, the banner, the dragon banner in that piece actually features in the painting that I did of Rand, the first illustration that I did of Yosha Stradelsky as Rand. And so I pulled it out of that and I put it into the background of that painting. I had to do a little bit of tweaking and stuff to it, but
awesome.
I wanted to repurpose it.
Right. So you know, you mentioned, you know, doing Wheel of Time fantasy art, reading fantasy, but if you go, you know, back in time, both in terms of origin stories of reading fantasy and then doing art, how was that journey for you? Were you always reading fantasy? Were you always doing art?
Yeah, so I've been an artist as long as I can remember. I kind of come from a bit of a family of creative people. So my dad was a painter. He did a lot of like landscape painting and oil. And I remember being a little kid and seeing him paint. And then my brother, who's about a year and 10 months older than me, is an artist as well. And he always was drawing. And so because I wanted to be cool, I was drawing too. And I think that he had a more natural gifting than I did for art. And I just was really striving to be like him and wanted to hang out with him. So I spent so much time drawing. And then it just kind of became a passion for me and was something that really kind of fed into my mental health journey as I was going through high school and stuff. It was like a real healthy outlet for me and a means to kind of like process, you know, life stress and hormones
right
as a teenager.
and then
you know, I in terms of story, like in terms of fantasy stories, I feel like I've always been reading fantasy as well. I kind of always had a mind for story and kind of started as long as I can remember. Like the first memory I have of my mom reading to me, she used to read to my brother and I. Mm-hmm. And the first memory I have of that was her reading The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe to us.
Yeah.
The Narnia series. Mm-hmm. And then she read The Hobbit to us. And I was probably 7, I think, around that time. And I know she read many other stories to me when I was a kid. And I have a lot of memories of reading like fairy tale books and stuff at my grandparents' when I was really little. So I've always been interested in books and mythology and stories. My reading journey is kind of lackluster. It's kind of shameful. Reading is very difficult for me. Mm. I don't know if I'm dyslexic, but it's just very, very challenging for me to actually sit and read a book. And so I've probably only read maybe a dozen books, fantasy books, like actually read them. The rest I've absorbed through audiobooks, which is, I've discovered I'm an audio learner. Like I learned through listening.
Yeah. I mean, I consider that reading. It's, you know, just the same as any other. It's just a different type of reading. And I love the audiobooks too. I've done a little bit of a mix of both. I know they're really popular within the fandom. Did you listen to the Michael and Kate version of Wheel of Time?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of awesome because they narrated most of the stuff that I've listened to from Brandon Sanderson
right,
as well.
So yeah.
I feel like I know their voices so well.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've spent many, many hours listening to their voices.
they're fantastic. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they really are.
So when you were reading The Wheel of Time, did you know other people who were reading the books as well? Did you have any interaction with the fandom early on, or was that more later when the show started? Just tell us a little bit about like your fandom journey.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I grew up, you know, well, I guess I didn't grow up with computers. When I was in college, I got my first email address. But I've been around computers for long enough that you'd think I would have looked online for like other Wheel of Time fans to connect to, but I didn't. So my early years of Wheel of Time fandom were in a bubble. I kept bugging the people around me, and they were like, yeah, yeah, whatever. I don't have a lot of like fantasy book fans that are like close to me. My wife likes historical fiction and Jane Eyre and stuff like that. I did get my whole family to read Mistborn though, and they loved it.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah, but I didn't connect until I started putting artwork out there, and that's when I kind of started really connecting to the awesome fandom that's grown so much over the past few years. And it's been really great. Awesome community. I kind of wish I lived. I was looking the other day on your guys's I think it was your Instagram feed, looking back at old posts and stuff like that, and seeing you together with a bunch of like Wheel of Time fans, and you guys are doing all these things together, and I'm like, huh.
Thank you for scrolling our social media.
Oh yeah, no, for sure.
It's been a wonderful journey for us, and that's why we started the podcast, because we just fell in love with the community, and it's been such a great journey. I know you're far from us, but maybe someday you'll get to come to one of the conventions in the U.S. It's a really wonderful, warm and fuzzy thing to meet other fans in person.
Yeah, I it's a bucket list thing for me. I really do want to make it down there one day to attend something.
When I was reading the books, I had a group of high school friends middle school, high school. And then later on, there was no one because as the books were coming out, and we hear this from a lot of people, where like there were other people, other communities while you were reading. And then the last few years with the show coming out, this new community in a way that's come. So it's great that you were able to come to it finally in a way.
Yeah.
And then obviously, you got to being an artist. Where were you like, I think I want to put that out there. So when did you kind of think of, okay, I did this piece, a rant with the Dragon Banner, in 2000, early 2010s or so. Let me do another one now with Yosha Sadrowski and do that. By the way, I did find.
Oh, you found thing. It.
Yeah. I just put it in chat there.
Did I post it on my website? Is it on my website? It's
DeviantArt. I put DeviantArt Dragon Banner and it showed
That's
up.
That's funny. That's funny. Yeah. Okay, great. Cool.
Yeah. So, and I can see that, you have, not that it's similar, but there's the Dragon Banner coloring is reminiscent to your old piece. So how was that? Was it a conscious kind of thing where you're like, okay, let me do this again?
Yeah. So what happened for me was I had been listening to the books for so long in, leading up to the announcement of the show. And they started doing the casting, and then I just was like, wanted to see the actors as the characters. It just became an impulse for me to like want to explore that from kind of a almost like a mix of concept art and portraiture, because I'm most of the stuff that I've done, early stuff at least, before the show came out, when I was doing the early pieces, I was doing a bunch of surfing the web looking for photos of the actors that I thought might work to depict them as the characters. And so then I would find photos of them, and then I would kind of photo bash them together in Photoshop, take some of my own photo reference and kind of like Frankenstein stuff together, so I had something to draw from. And that early process for me was really like an exploratory process on my part, just to want to kind of like start to see the characters as I imagined what they might look like on the show. And so that was kind of my initial impulse with starting to do the fan art, was like more consistently. It was predicated on that interest of what would they look like as the characters. And then it kind of snowballed, because I just got kind of addicted to it. For the first like year and a bit there, I was really doing a ton of work, a lot of hours. My family was like, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, I can't stop. I'm just enjoying this so much. So
yeah,
and that kind of, it was good, because it kind of started, it reinvigorated me in terms of my art journey with relationship to digital artwork. So I'm a painter. I have a diploma in fine arts, and so I have a background with art education, and I had done a bunch of painting in the past. So I do, and I still do some analog painting. But this, the digital media is something that I kind of picked up in the around 2010, 2011, and was working on my computer at that time. Now I work primarily on my iPad, but it was great. It really was an awesome catalyst for me to kind of pick it up and really start digging into it heavily.
We talked about this last week, and you know, Grace mentioned that, you know, she's somewhat artistic. She's, you know, done some stuff. I am not. From that perspective, I'm more a man of science, I would say, and that, you know, but I understand art to some degree. So when I see your art, I can always be like, yeah, that has to be Corey. Like, you know, like I can see, I can try to identify it. Sure. How would you explain for, you know, people who don't know your art or how your style is, how would you describe it, A, to a lay art person like myself, but also maybe in a more, you know, arty way or artsy way?
This is a good question. I think I haven't quite developed my style yet. I think it's in process.
Okay.
But I definitely, my work leans towards realism. So it's more leaning towards realism, but my sensibilities are more, I think, expressionistic in terms of color. So sometimes my paintings will have a little more color in the skin tones and in the depictions of the characters. And I'm reining myself in when I'm painting this more like representational stuff, away from being too colorful. But then what I find lately is that I really want to explore that more, and I want to push myself to be more loose, because I find that one of the byproducts of the digital tool set for me is that I start to get really tight with my work and get really wanting to, like, because I end up zooming in and like trying to get like the everything just perfect, right? So with that, I feel like there kind of gets a little, that tension kind of grows a little bit and it becomes a little bit highly controlled. And I want to get more of that looseness and more of that painterly feel back into my work. And so I've been kind of experimenting with that lately. I don't know how closely you follow my social media, but I did a post recently where I was talking to my wife about this frustration that I have with my work, where I'm just like, it feels boring. It's like, it's too controlled and I'm not enjoying what I'm seeing. So she's like, well, just do a painting using 100 strokes. And I'm like, what? That's impossible. But I challenged myself just using a random portrait photo as reference. And I tried to do a painting of this portrait using 100 strokes. And I did it 3 times. And then I did a more finished one, which is probably like more like 1,000 strokes. But the sensibility behind it is a little more, not abstract, but it's just letting the viewer do some of the filling in. So it's a little bit, the way I see that is like, I want to get my work to a place where it's a bit more interactive and less didactic, if that makes sense.
That sounded so cool to me. I was like, whoa, that, you know, there's, again, you know, to someone who doesn't understand art, what you do is masterful.
It's
lovely to see people when you say you spend so much time doing certain things, it shows. It does show. So yeah, thank you for all the stuff you do, at least the stuff I've seen.
Thank you for saying that. That's really kind of you.
Yeah.
I mean, your stuff is amazing, and I think, at least this will be my interpretation sort of what you said. What I have seen, I think, is that over time your art has gotten more expressionist. Like when you first started, I could see how much time you put into the detail and your pieces looked so, almost so perfect. Like they looked exactly like who they were supposed to look like, which is like so amazing and impressive. But now I feel like you've been exploring a little bit more with like color and shapes. And I very wrongly called it impressionistic last week when we were talking about it, but you meant expressionistic. And I can see like you're just putting like little smears of color and just like doing different things. And I love that one with the three faces. So anyway, I'm not sure if that's what you meant, but I feel like I've seen that change in you where you're trying to develop your style and be less focused on being exact. And I think it's working. Whatever you're doing, you're getting there. So
well, thank you very much. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah. You were talking a little bit about your process, and I guess while we're talking about it, that Loghain piece with the three faces, you have a YouTube channel, and you do videos where you share, not only do you share like a time lapse of you creating the art, but then you talk about your process, which I think is really cool. And I was shocked you don't have way more views than you do. So people, go watch Corey's YouTube channel because it's really, really cool. And it's like, it feels like such a treat to just get to see behind the scenes like for free on your YouTube. So thank you for that. But you talked a little bit about, you know, you were feeling a little bit burnt out. You were feeling defeated. You were doing this 100 portrait challenge and you were feeling like you didn't have enough time. And it was hard to like, you were like busting out all of these pieces, but they weren't necessarily the way you wanted them to be. And you had to kind of let go of that, getting them perfectly. And so you kind of talked about that balance. And I can relate to that a little bit. I'm not currently an artist, but I've done art in the past. And I was telling Anas last week, I didn't make that many pieces of art because I was such a perfectionist. And I would spend so much time just on like one piece. And I was focused so much on quality that I wasn't doing enough to like expand my skill. So I guess my question is, that video of Loghain came out about a year ago. So since then, have you found that balance? Like, have you figured that out? Have you made any progress in feeling a little less burnt out, but still like happy with what you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, this stuff that I'm doing for Wheel of Time and Stormlight Archives and like Cosmere stuff and things like that, it's all just, it's fun for me, right? Like this is my like freedom to be exploring the things that I love and that I'm really excited about. And it's all like, it's all very enjoyable for me, but it's a secondary thing to my life, right? Like it's when I think when that video came out, like I'm still working on the 100 portrait challenge. Mm-hmm.
You're on number 90, right?
Yeah, I'm working on 91, but it's again like that one's on hold right now, and I'd like, it's frustrating because I'm going through a transition right now in my career where I was part owner of a company that I had been running since 2009, and I just left it in May of last year, and my business partner is still running it, but I just needed a change, so I stepped away. And that was hard because it's like leaving this baby behind that I helped, you know, grow. But I just needed a change. And I taught last semester, so in the fall semester at a university here in Edmonton, McEwen University, I taught 4 design classes in graphic design, which I have a degree in graphic design, which is my day job, right? Mm-hmm. My business. So that's where I make money as an artist in this more like practical way. Yeah. And so there's all these like layers to my creative journey that are, they all kind of feed into each other. I wish that I could just focus on doing this kind of stuff as like a career. I just haven't been able to kind of crack that egg. And so I don't know. Am I less burned out now? I feel better since I left the business. I think that was a good choice for me. I'm feeling a lot less overwhelmed and burned out, I would say, and excited about the future. So I'm now kind of at this point in time looking at potentially going into post-secondary education as a full-time career kind of moving forward, which would be really great. I love mentoring young artists and creatives and kind of that feedback loop of coaching them and being with them. And that's like a never-ending well of that opportunity in that way, being an instructor. So I'm really hoping that that works out, but I'm working on the details for that right now. And then, you know, my artwork kind of suffers when I'm doing all these other things, but now I have to like do a bunch of freelance work to try to earn enough money to put away for grad school. And so I'm kind of built like it's a challenge to find, to carve out the time to focus on the creative, that part of my creative journey, where like I thought in my head I was going to be finished the 100 portrait series in like a year. And that was when I was like burning out because I was doing like 4 or 5 portraits a month on top of working full time and trying to be a dad and all of those other things, right? The more important stuff.
Yeah, definitely. So,
yeah. And so anyways, I guess I sound like I'm whining. I'm very fortunate to have the opportunities that I have with the work that I get to do, and all of the stuff that I get to do with regards to this fan art is just wonderful for me. And then sharing with the community and putting content out there. Yeah, I don't have a big following on YouTube and stuff like that. So sometimes it feels a little discouraging just because you're putting stuff out and you're not getting that feedback loop that kind of drives you as an artist. Like we need that like pat on the back sometimes. But I just keep going. I can't not create. I have to keep going. It's just part of my makeup. And like I said earlier, right, when in high school, reflecting on it, it was like part of my mental health journey. And I think it's similar now. Like my creative outlets are what kind of help keep me feeling good and enjoying life and exploring and creating new stuff, growing.
I'm trying to think back, Grace. Like, when did we talk? Our second episode, when we talked about how we're more creative and like why do we like doing the stuff we like doing? Like, why are we doing this podcast, or why do we like to be active in a community like this, or
and how has it changed our lives?
I think what you're speaking to is that feeling or journey where there's the art, the work, and the happiness you get from doing that. And there's also, and you know, somewhat not external, but like when you see other people, or you know, when you do it in a community setting, then it just elevates it to it just a different feeling. And I think with Third Age Art, sharing that with us and you know, with the other fandoms, obviously, is just wonderful to see.
Yeah, that's well said. It is. It's like our creative journeys are interconnected, especially when we're all kind of creating stuff around a pre-existing IP that we all love, and it all means different things to each of us. But you know, the Wheel of Time is such a rich story universe. I'm sure we all feel like we identify with different characters in the story, right? At different times. And so it's kind of like for me has been at times like a safe place to go back to, you know, and you feel like you're part of something bigger, and it's like the stories are familiar and they feel comfortable, and you kind of, you know, read chapters about Matt and it's like putting on a comfortable pair of pants, you know, and you're like, oh yeah, that feels right. You know, like it's just and we all are sort of sharing in that together. So like, it's great. It's wonderful. And us sharing that creative journey together is awesome. And I was curious with Grace, like, so for you, you talked a little bit about perfectionism and how it like, you struggled with that. Is that still kind of something you struggle with your creativity, or is it like?
Yes, so much so that I really don't do anything creative anymore other than write. I did music, I did costume design, I did art, all sorts of stuff growing up, and I don't do any of that because I feel like if I do it, I won't be happy with what I do because I'm so rusty and because I haven't been practicing all these years. So it's almost like I'm afraid to start because I like want to be perfect at it right away, you know, and I know I won't be. And then even with my writing, which is probably the thing I feel most confident about right now, I would spend hours and hours editing my articles. And I used to write a weekly article for thegreatblight.com. And I don't know how I did that, like looking back, but I would put one out every week. And eventually I did burn myself out, and I haven't done an article in a long time because I just spent so much time and energy on each and every one of them. And I think if I had been able to let up on that a little bit and maybe make them less perfect, less long, whatever, maybe I could have sustained it a little bit longer. But yeah, I'm hoping to get back into it at some point. Thanks for asking. Do you have any advice for someone like me?
Thank you for answering. The reason I ask is because it's just such a common thread with creative minds. And yeah, I guess what I would say, like, my wife and I were fortunate enough to just have a joint art show. So she's an artist too. We met in art college, and we recently showed our artwork at a local community, the arts center here in Leduc. It was really great. So for February, our work was up together in the gallery, which we hadn't done that since college back in 99. So long time ago. But and when I put my sort of like write up together about the show, part of what I wrote in there was that like perfectionism was kind of is a part of my journey too, and it's for me it's kind of become like an ally for me. I've kind of figured out a way to like turn it into an ally where it's like used to be a thing that stifled me, where I wouldn't start anything because I would feel like I can see it in my head, but when I go to put it down on paper, it's not going to look the same. So I just wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And so there were many sort of chunks of time in my creative journey where I just stopped creating for that same reason, right? Where it's like, what's the point? And now it's kind of switched where it's like, instead of letting it be like this critical thing that stops me, the way I've framed it is I'm allowing it to have a seat at my table. And so I'll let it be a part of the conversation and allow it to speak up sometimes and say, hey, that's not looking right, or you could probably do that better, or, you know, kind of push me a little bit, but I won't let it dominate the conversation. And that's been like a helpful way to mindset for me to just kind of like frame it for me. I don't know if that's like a solution for everybody, but that's kind of how I've handled it. And it's been very helpful. And I think it's kind of come out of probably that sort of realization or that approach to it has kind of come out of this journey that I've been on, where I'm doing so much work, like quite a bit of painting and exploring my style and exploring different modes of creation. And I think because I've done a lot, I can allow myself to sort of have some duds and pieces that I'm not super happy with. I know that I'm going to start another one because I've got this goal and I'm just going to move on to the next one. So there's it creates a little bit of like a compassionate kind of grace-filled process for me, which is like helpful. I need that. Otherwise I'll just get stuck.
Yeah, that makes sense. You kind of you have to let go of it. If you're going to make that many pieces, you can't be that much of a perfectionist.
For sure. Yeah.
I like the way you described that about just giving it one seat at the table. It's actually crazy. You're describing something very close to a type of therapy that I actually really like. I'm a therapist in my day job, and I go to my own therapy as well. And there's this type of therapy called internal family systems. And it's basically that. It's basically looking at different parts of yourself and kind of conceptualizing them as different people in a way. And then getting them all to work together instead of one dominating the conversation. And oftentimes it can be that perfectionist piece that takes over. And so I love that idea of like not letting any one part of yourself necessarily take over, but making it kind of all of them working together. That's really
cool. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, that was a little bit of a detour that I didn't expect to take. But yeah, awesome. Honest, did you have any thoughts?
I was just looking up this exhibit you had. I think I'm at the right place because it says Corey Lansdale and the Red Barn Loft. I see some pictures here of you, so that's great. We'll share that so at least people can look at both of those things in our show notes.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, if people want to, my wife does these beautiful, like, she does ink and watercolor like pet portraits and animals and landscapes with watercolors and stuff. She's really, really growing lately and pushing herself really hard. So if the listeners want to follow her, please go follow. It's the Red Barn Loft. She's awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking at this one. It's of a rabbit, and it really reminds me of the book cover, one of the book covers of Watership Down, and it's a book that Grace likes a lot that I recently read.
Like my favorite book.
I saw that's the first one I saw, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's the style that I
That's interesting, because my wife will say that she's been inspired by like children's book illustrators. I don't know if you're familiar with David Small, but he's a children's book illustrator who really inspired her, kind of like that kind of, so that fits, that would be like a fitting kind of like style.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's totally Hazel right there. Yeah. Right.
Exactly. Yep.
So yeah, you mentioned, Corey, that you do so many things, and obviously Wheel of Time, Third Age art is just a tiny piece of everything that you do. How did Third Age art come to be? Did you make that its own separate thing just because of how much interaction you had with the fandom? Or is there a story behind why that's separate from your other art account.
Yeah, it's partly I don't know what I'm doing with social media. So there's like a part of it that's just like, I don't know, I guess I should have a separate thing. But yeah, when I started getting a lot of like feedback on the work that I've been doing in the fan art space, I kind of thought that it would be good to maybe valuable to have a separate entity attached to it. And so I had
a cool name too. Like it's such a cool name.
Well, right? Thanks. Thanks. Well, and that came to me. I really ruminated on that for a long time because I wanted it to be cool. And it felt appropriate because like I'm a big Lord of the Rings fan. I'm a big Wheel of Time fan. Like all these things, there's always like ages, right? And there's like the third age is like, it seems to be the age when things happen, right? So I was like, I don't know, like that makes sense. So anyways, that's why I framed it that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it would be good to have a separate kind of account space name or something that I could kind of put as an umbrella over top of all this stuff. So it was a bit of a way for me to potentially do that. I also, I don't know, I feel like my name's not super memorable. So I'm like, maybe people will remember me more, or I'll get more interest if I go with something like that. And now I tend to post most, I haven't been posting a lot on social media. I've been really negligent with my social media activity and have just kind of been posting on Corey Lansdell lately on Instagram just because of time restraints and busyness. I also do the social media for my son teaches Taekwondo, and I've been taking Taekwondo, and I trade my social media management services for my classes. So I'm busy with social media in that area, and then I don't want to go do my own social media. So
yeah,
understandable.
It's like so hard to manage all this stuff.
Yeah, there was a small, almost like a boom of social media presence with the pandemic and, you know, that time space. And not that that's not still there. I think it is hard, you know, to do that. Yeah, as much fun as it is, doing it is hard. But I don't think your name is. I don't know how you put it, but I feel like.
Exactly.
I remember hearing that first time when I looked at your art, and I'm like, yeah, I know who that is now. So I hope that, you know, people link the two, you know, they're like, oh yeah, Corey Lansdell. Yeah. I mean, oh, that's the Mandalorian, that he's done Kaladin too, you know, or, you know, other stuff that you like to do. Specifically with Wheel of Time art though, was there one that, you know, I'd probably ask this in two different ways, a piece that you really enjoyed creating, and one that you were really not annoyed, but like was so hard to create, but that we were happy with what you ended up with.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Oh man, there's been a lot of pieces.
Yeah. And that's why, you know, it's like you can, from what your memory serves, right? Over the last 4 years.
Yeah. Before. I would say that I'm really proud of some of the early pieces that I did because. So like one of the first paintings I did of Moraine, she's holding the light orb in front of her. And I did kind of like this early series of the main characters. And they're not I would say they're probably not technically my best work, but I'm really proud of them because they were fresh. Like it was new, and I was really doing a more of a combination of, like I mentioned earlier, like a little bit more concept design. So like costume development, some character design work in the process of doing the paintings, because there wasn't like a bunch of stills from the show, or like there wasn't a show out yet. So I was envisioning all that stuff myself. And then even just trying to imagine, like, what are they going to do with Marcus Rutherford's hair? Because like the books describe him as having like this shaggy hair, and I'm like, he's a black guy. And then I like looking at like hairstyles, you know, that would be appropriate to him, and then trying to find something that would work and match the character and match him. And so like that kind of stuff was really interesting to me, and kind of like interesting problem solving that I had to do, that I feel like I feel happy with the results that I came to, even with like you know, Yosha Stradowski with his hair. Like, I'm like trying to figure it out because I think he's got a little bit more naturally curly hair too, kind of like me. There's no way I could ever have flowing locks. It just kind of goes like, and so like, you know, imagining him with this like Rand in the books like hair was kind of like a challenge for me.
Yeah.
And obviously they've gone a different route so far in the show. So there's, it's kind of funny how to see how my early work compares to the stuff that came out in the show in terms of costuming and hair design and different things like that. But I would say those are probably the ones I'm like the most proud of. And then like technically, or ones that are like most frustrating. I mean, every art piece has a stage in it where you just absolutely loathe it and it's hard. You're like, I hate this. Why do I do this? And then there's like the tendency for me, I struggle with comparing myself to other people. I've gotten a lot better at it, but I tend to get sometimes, instead of allowing others' artwork to inspire me, I will get discouraged by it because I'm like, oh, I'm never going to be that good. And so there's always this stage in my paintings where I get stuck and then I look at other people's work for some inspiration. And then I'm like, wow, that's so good. Why am I trying? That's the danger.
Right, right.
I've gotten better at like just allowing it to kind of motivate me and inspire me. But there is a danger there where I can be like, I'm never going to be like Greg Manchess. This is ridiculous. I want to paint like him.
Right.
I can't. And it's like, ah. Then it's like, okay, I'm not him. I'm just going to paint like myself and just work with the tools that I have. Everybody's kind of got a different eye. So I have to like bring it back and be like, okay, just how can I work through this? And what would I do to make it work? Yeah, some of the ones that incorporated my own photo reference were probably the technically most challenging ones. There's one with of Matt where he's holding his Ashendare and he's kind of got his hat kind of pinched between his fingers. He's got a green coat on and there's two ravens in the background. That one was like technically difficult because I had a picture of Barney Harris's face and then I took photo reference of myself and then mashed them together and then brought in the ravens from some different photos. So like to get all that to work together was a bit of a challenge. And I was really happy with how that one turned out. I feel like it felt a lot like Barney. It felt a lot like Matt. It feels quite iconic of the character, I feel.
Yeah, that one is so cool. That's like one of your top sellers, right? I think I saw something about like that's one of the most popular prints you have.
And there's like for lace, sure. Right? Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's lace. Of course there's lace.
I love the profile, though.
It's got to be lace.
Because I think the other one where I think he has it on his back is... it's a different style. I mean, there's the again, to my eye, they're both Barney, they're both Bat, but there's a difference in how it looks and feels. And they're both, you know, Matt, but it's interesting you brought that other one up because that looked like a contemplative Matt almost, and it looks really cool. I mean, I like there's a feel to your Rand pieces because you have the one where he's like almost like the fifth I give you, like where he doesn't have a shirt on. And there's the one you mentioned, the first one you had, and I think I'm not sure if those are the only two, but there's a similar
a few more that I've done of him too, yeah.
Yeah, but there's a similarity to the two with, you know, I think they're both before the show, before you probably like saw you know him in character, and I don't see I see that as Rand from the show.
Well, that's nice. That's what I was going for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you know, it's interesting because I didn't make that connection until you started seeing it. I'm like, yeah, I mean, I've seen this stuff for a long time and the show has been around for a long time, but not as long as some of these art pieces. So it's really cool that the work you've done and how that's ingrained in, you know, the people who've seen it and who've seen the show. There's this one of Len where he's looking so, not angry, but intense. And it's basically like I don't know again that when that is from, but it's like it could fit into the show like so well, where he's like, I don't need to say anything. I could just, this is just my face, and it looks awesome.
He's one of my favorite characters to paint. He has such a great face. He's just so fun to paint.
Yeah, no, I'm just getting kind of lost looking at your,
page. Okay. I'm like, are you going to describe all of Corey's art?
I'm like, Kaladin and Avienda.
You were talking about Daniel Henney's face. So that's one thing that is, you mentioned before, you use the actors' faces as sort of like your source material, and you sort of trace the general outline of their face, and then you paint over it. I feel like, you know, portraits is like its own whole other thing, you know, just it's a part of art that's so complex, and getting people's facial expressions right and everything, it must take like a lot of practice and learning. And so can you tell us a little bit about that, like how you got into portraits specifically, and that process of using someone's actual face and then turning it into...
Yeah, for sure. It's kind of interesting. So about 6 years ago, I was really doing a deep dive into human anatomy and trying to study musculature and bone of the human body to try to understand anatomy better, because I've been drawing people for my whole life. We did a bunch of like figure drawing and stuff in college. And so I can draw what I see fairly well, but I didn't really understand what I'm drawing. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have a deep understanding of like what's going on underneath the skin to inform the shapes and the way the light is hitting the skin and all those pieces. So I really wanted to explore that and expand my visual library around that. And I got overwhelmed. I was like, okay, this is way too much studying and way too much to know. So then I was like, well, I'll just do portraiture. That's easy. And then I was like, wow, this is like also a very deep subject. And so I started doing some research into different approaches to drawing the face, sort of like some tools. So Bridgman was an artist who had like an approach to drawing faces. So I read through his work and practiced from his demonstrations and stuff. Then Loomis kind of came after Bridgman, but kind of worked off of Bridgman. And he sort of took it and simplified it and had his own sort of approach to stuff. And then there's Riley, who also had a different way of constructing the drawing of a face. And it's all very technical, the way that these guys draw. They have kind of like measures and divisions of the face in order to like build stuff and have it proportionally correct. So I did a bunch of studying around that, just to try to get my own headspace correct about how to do it correctly from a technical perspective. And then that kind of was a nice way for me to like apply that to these portraits and stuff, right? So drawing, getting a likeness is super difficult. And so having that underlying knowledge of sort of the structure of the face has really helped me. I've gotten to the point, like you mentioned, in a lot of my work for these pieces, I do just trace the faces typically. When I find a photo that I like, I'll just trace it in digital and then remove the photo and then paint. And the reason I do that is for time, because I'm like, it's way faster. And the interesting thing is a good number of them are traced, but there's quite a few in there that are not traced. And what I've kind of been doing is going back to just drawing, do a straight up drawing every now and then, just to kind of check my skill set where I'm at. And I found that through doing the tracing, my ability to see has improved, which is kind of interesting. I wouldn't have expected that, but just the aspect of tracing the face has kind of taught me how to structure a face more accurately. I had like, every person has kind of these weird nuanced tendencies about how they draw faces. My tendency, and it might be because I have a bit of a longer, narrower face, my tendency was always to put the eyes too high on the forehead, just slightly. So then when I was finished the drawing, it was just like, wow, that's weird. It doesn't feel right. And so now I can like mitigate that. I can actually see when I've got things incorrect a lot easier. And the last sort of like, I would say the last handful of straight up drawings that I've done, my accuracy is getting way better. And I'm so happy, because I have this unrealistic expectation of myself that I should be able to look at something and draw it like exactly, like a one-to-one almost photocopy. I don't know if that's realistic or if anybody can do that, but for whatever reason, I have in my head like a goal to be able to get likeness and stuff like super accurate easily. And I am growing. I'm developing that skill. But I've kind of done, that's been my journey. And that's why I wanted to do that 100 portrait challenge, because I really wanted to push my development of that skill set for portraiture. and just being able to capture likenesses really well and yeah, carry the character through and the emotion and stuff of the human face. So that's my goal. And I think I'm growing. Like, I feel like I am growing in that respect. It's just taking time.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did that answer your question? I feel like I might've gone off on a...
No, yeah, definitely. 100%.
Yeah. you were going into such great detail there, and listeners of The Light's Work would know this, that there are times when we've been academic about things, and we have this joke that we're putting on our academic hat, and we actually have these hats that just say academic on it. We got them for ourselves, and I feel like right then when you were answering that,
you definitely
needed that academic hat. It was like it felt perfect. We haven't been academic for a while. Yeah. I feel like, but there was a time when, you know, we were kind of just, you know, talking, you know, reading books about, you know, fandom interactions and community and things like that, and being academic. So no, that was just going through my head as you were answering. I was like, this is awesome. You know,
that's funny.
Yeah.
Now I know why that answer made me so happy. I didn't even think of that, but that's why. Right, because exactly. I love the academic side of things.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's certainly an academic component to my process for sure. A studied approach to stuff.
It's wonderful to have you talk about it, because I think even to someone like I keep saying, you know, who doesn't really understand art, it's wonderful to. It's almost like a. In my head, like, oh, masterclass kind of, you know, kind of thing, where it's like, oh, this is pretty cool. I think I can try to understand that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to, I have a Patreon, and I've been trying to, I need to get more disciplined. I want to build out some tutorials and stuff on there specifically around portraiture. It's something that I am passionate about, the practice of portrait drawing. And I do feel like I've gotten to a point where I could teach people. I've done a little bit of teaching here locally to kids and some adults for portrait work and stuff like that. And I've done a little bit through my Patreon account, but I love talking about it, and I love working through the process. And it's, I've always been interested in drawing people from when I was a kid. Like, I used to draw comic book characters and try to draw their faces and stuff all the time. That was my thing. And now I'm starting to feel... It's funny because I've been drawing for so long and I've been doing so much work lately, but I feel like I'm only now kind of the last 4 or 5 months feeling competent, that I'm starting to feel, not that I feel like my other work was incompetent, but there's a level of comfort where I can jump into something and I feel like I can do it. I'm not super daunted by it and overwhelmed by the process. And so that's nice. I feel like that's a good space for me to be. And I think that with that, I'm starting to be able to capture some more of the spirit of the people, the naturalism, and not in terms of the rendering, but the spirit of the person is maybe coming through the work a little bit better.
In terms of, you know, other art that you've seen in the Wheel of Time community, fan art, is there anybody that, you know, any art that you've seen out there that you're a fan of, that you admire?
Yeah, I mean... So I'm a fan of all of the artists out there that are doing. I really love the chibis,
yeah,
like that, because they're so cute and they're just so well done. They're just so well crafted. I mean, I love what Rob's been doing with the Weekly Wheel News. It's a little bit of a different. It's not really it's artistic and creative, right? But it's not like painting, but it's so creative, and that work is really interesting, and it's funny, tongue-in-cheek stuff that is feels like an extension of the world in a way.
It's really, very clever,
really special.
And
Ariel Burgess is I have to talk about her work a little bit, because I mean, her work's been around for so long with the Wheel of Time stuff, and I've seen it. It was kind of inspiring to me way back in the day, and she's really hard worker and works really hard at her work. So I'm a fan of her work and what she's doing in the Wheel of Time space. There's a friend of mine, his name's Jamel. I think his Instagram is Nugubeef.
Oh yeah. I recognize the name because I used to watch a lot of Lesby Nerdy's Wheel of Time videos, and Lesby Nerdy would use a lot of Wheel of Time fan art, and she was really good about crediting people, and I remember seeing that name like over and over again. Yeah, that that's yeah.
Yeah, he's a friend of mine in Edmonton here. Really talented young guy, and really cool work. The funny thing is, we had a debate, he and I, about what the merge roll were going to look like in the show. and I'm not, I have to say it, I'm not a huge fan of what they look like in the show. I feel like it's a little off the description, at least how my brain interpreted them.
Yeah.
But he did some renders of the fades and prior to the show, and they're very close to what is rendered, what the show's put together. So it's kind of interesting how, like, you know, it, again, it's like the interpretation of how we see stuff in our head when we're reading it and what comes out, right? So my merge draw is a lot more like greasy guy, like slimy dude you don't want to meet on the street with no eyes.
Yeah, I'm seeing it, and there's definitely the forehead, almost like a sheen, like a very smooth kind of forehead until you see the mouth, which is maybe not as spiky teeth as as the show has, but it's definitely like a big mouth. Yeah, I see it.
Yeah, he's a really great guy. Jamel's a really nice guy, and talented artist.
Yeah, we'll make sure to put their Instagram account on in our show notes.
Cool.
Yeah.
We'll link to everything that we've talked about today, all of the artists plus particular pieces we talk about. They'll all be in the show notes.
Awesome.
But yeah, Nugu Beef. I have not looked at his stuff in a while, but I remember this. It's coming back to me now as I'm scrolling through his account. And yeah, I wish I had mentioned this last week because this stuff is really good.
Yeah, it's cool stuff.
Yeah.
He's a Cosmere fan too. He's got some cool Mistborn stuff in there too.
Yeah. And it looks like he did a little portrait challenge as well. I'm seeing these images with like 9, 12 portraits on the same page. And they're all that's really cool.
Yeah.
So we talked a little bit earlier about the fandom and how awesome it is and the community that we've created here. What have you noticed about the fandom? Do they interact a lot with your artwork? Are there comments you've gotten that stand out to you or that are memorable? Or is there just a general feel that you've gotten from that kind of interaction with the fandom?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny because like probably the last, I want to say like 11, 12 months maybe, it's really slowed down because I haven't been as active on there. And honestly, I would say like my Wheel of Time specific work has dropped off because I just was interested in doing some other things for a bit and exploring other things. And so, you know, it's kind of that sort of front of mind thing. I think that the fandom, you know, I'm just not in their face as much. But yeah, I mean, what I would say is like in general, I feel like it's a really great fan base. I know there was a lot of contention around the show and people kind of like bickering back and forth about whether it was good or bad or whatever. And I put my own content up about it and my own criticisms and whatever from a writer's perspective. But yeah, I think that in general, the fandom has just been awesome. Like everybody's been so supportive of my work. And, you know, Matt really was generous and kind to me to have me on the show a few times. And that was just awesome experiences and being able to kind of interact with the fandom in that way. Cause it was a really kind of earlier days that I was on his channel, but you know, a good volume of people kind of asking questions and just some dialogue back and forth. And it's just really fun. I don't know. It's kind of like, I feel sort of bad because I feel like a bad member of the fandom because this is the way that I work with social media is I usually just drop stuff and run. I don't spend a lot of time on there. And so I'm probably not, most of the lack of interaction would be my own fault because I don't spend a great deal of time surfing stuff and commenting on stuff and, you know, being interactive. And so, I don't know, I feel a little bad about that. But that's just my nature. I don't know.
Yes, it's been clear multiple times how hard you are on yourself. But that's totally relatable a lot that way. And many of our guests have talked about that. But I don't think you should feel bad about that because the fact that you're sharing your art with the fandom, that is your interaction. And I think people feel like you are part of the community because they're so familiar with your work. And I don't think you have to spend a lot of time bantering, bickering, whatever. I think you're there. You know, people know you, and it's so generous of you to share your work in the way that you do. I mean, essentially seeing your stuff on social media is like seeing your art for free. And that's a really lovely thing. So thank you for sharing that.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. That means a lot.
In terms of, you know, what we kind of highlight here at the Lights Work. So we really think of that as, you know, things that people do for each other, you know, kindness, acts of kindness, things like that, you know, within the fandom, you know, or generally, you know, the Wheel of Time. Can you recall, you know, anyone doing the Lights Work for you in that way?
Yeah, I think in regards to people sharing my work, there's been people that have reached out to me, and I don't remember who specifically, but there's been a couple of times people have been like, hey, I think somebody stole your work and they're selling it on such and such website. And so people really look out for you. And I've come across a few people selling my stuff on merch in different places and had to get contact the company and they take it down and stuff. So it's definitely there are those in the community that definitely are doing the Lights Work in that way and watching out for us artists in that respect. And that's so great. It's so nice and kind. The one thought that comes to mind, which was not for me, but so you're familiar with the wheel, Weaves of the Wheel.
Yes, that sounds familiar.
It's an online community of writers who basically do write their own characters, like fan fiction stuff, and they have a rule system around it. It's kind of an online RPG ongoing story writing thing. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know that she's still running it, but I'm drawing blanks right now. I should have looked this stuff up ahead of time, but it'll come to me later. Oh, that's awful.
She's, I also feel like I
she's
should
gonna,
know
she's
this
gonna be mad at me.
I can picture her face.
It's Swana and Ren.
So she I got involved in this opportunity to do something for a member of the community who lost everything in a hurricane. And so they reached out to me, and I did an art piece that they then sent a print to them, and it was wonderful. And I'm like, this is awful. This was a really cool thing, and I can't remember. Anyways, it was a painting of Gaul, and why can I not remember? I need to remember these details. I'm pretty sure I posted about it somewhere, but that
I'm
was
sure
like,
it's 3-4 years ago.
It was about 3 years ago. But that was a really beautiful, to me, that was a really beautiful example of how I've seen the community to be, where someone is having a hard time and the community rallies together to do something just to try and, you know, give them some joy and help them, right? And it's the best part. That's the best part of what has come out of, for me, out of this whole journey is and I've talked to a number of people in my life around here when I try to explain this stuff to them, yeah, no. And it's that has been the biggest gift for me, is getting to sort of connect to this international community of people that I consider friends in different places of the world, that we've connected over this, you know, piece of fiction that is in the large scheme of things, inconsequential, but it's created these very consequential connections, which are really wonderful. So yeah, that's, to me, it's great. And that those are kind of some of the examples I can think of. I'm sure there's more that I'm forgetting.
Yeah, those are great examples. And, you know, it was funny where you were trying to explain that phenomena of what this community and fandom is. And when you try to explain it, it's people don't get it. Or what? And the one that I thought was funny, Matt, got to this point where he's trying to explain what the Dusty Wheel is, and then he finally got to the point where he's like, Oh, it's a book club. That's all it is. Yeah. Is I do a book a giant club, book club. And people just come and hang out and have fun together. So you know, that's like, you know, the different branches of a book club that is what it is, and they're very nice people, and people look after each other.
Absolutely.
So you mentioned, you know, this 100, you know, kind of Porter project that you're doing. You're 91, mm-hmm. so you're doing that now, so you know what that is. Do you know your last nine? Do you have those in your head?
No, but I put it out on my social media a while ago, and there was a few people that had some suggestions of characters that I should paint. So I've got a short list. I don't even know what they are right now. Sorry. There's a short list of, like, it's not taking me all the way to the end, but I've got a list of characters.
Yeah.
But maybe this is a question for you guys. If out of all of the Wheel of Time art that I've done, maybe you haven't seen all of it, but is there a character that you would like to see me paint that I haven't, or maybe repaint, or a scene or something?
This is one that I think, and I was just thinking, you know, we were going to ask you this. So we saw fireworks in the show.
Mm.
Have you done a Ludra?
No.
Yeah. So just, you know, that, you know, the fact of, you know, fireworks are a celebration. So as you're getting towards the end, fireworks as a celebration and a Ludra.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah.
Again, you know, I always think, you know, artwork for everyone out there. But there's something about, you know, Ludra and the braids, and I've always thought, just, you know, an interesting one that you totally can think about.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
that'd be fun.
So I have two. This is what I usually do. You ask me for one thing, and I think of two. Okay. But my alter ego in the fandom is Bane and Chiad. So I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't request Bane, because you just recently did a beautiful Chiad of Maya Simonson. So I feel like we need to get your Bane. Okay. And then I also feel like I need to suggest Melindra as well as a potential, like, a fan casting. I know before we got the cast, you did some fan cast before we knew who was playing what. So those would be my two requests. You gotta get some more Aiel in your
Fair enough.
Portfolio.
Yeah.
Wow. I was just trying to look for other Wheel of Time, and I just saw your Spook, and it just
I meant to send that to you today, honest, because I was like, oh my god, he did Spook.
I have not seen that. I don't know. I have not.
Did you have you seen his Kelsier?
Yes, of course.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Good.
Yeah. Kelsier is my So Grace is currently reading the second...
The Secret History.
Yeah, the Secret History, okay. And then you have The Lost Metal left. So she's not completely done with all of Mistborn. And Kelsier is my favorite character. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I've seen a lot of Kelsier art. Mm-hmm. And
he's pretty awesome.
But, I mean, yeah, it'd be great to see you obviously complete something that you started. I mentioned fireworks. How do you see yourself, like, celebrating, you know?
Well, I want to put the 100 portraits into a little book format, which I don't know what to do with that. I don't think I can technically sell it, because it's containing a bunch of IP that I don't own, and and likenesses that I don't own.
Right.
But I think I would like to put it together and just offer it maybe as, like, a free PDF or something. Maybe to people that sign up to my Patreon or something like that.
Right.
I'm not sure yet. But I would like to kind of somehow... I don't know. It's a lot of work to put that together, but... I could do it.
It
would be a lot of work, but it would be somehow. I want to commemorate it somehow. I'm just not sure yet. I'll probably do a couple of things. I'll probably put a video together with a series of time lapses and different things like that. Maybe I should. I probably should do some stuff. I should probably do a video and just talk about the process and the experience of doing it and all that stuff. Yeah. I have to think about that.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, when you asked that, I was thinking, like, treat yourself, take some time off, go on a vacation. And you're like, no, I'm going to do all these things and do more work.
Oh, I misunderstood.
No, no, no. It's open to interpretation, but
I feel like, I don't know, I'm like that too. Like, as soon as I finish something really huge, I am the most productive that day for all the other things I want to do. And I start so many things like that day. Yeah. But yeah, I totally understand, you know, wanting to you know, take a next step.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of finishing things, we're coming close to the end of our episode. Before we get, we have a tradition we like to do with our guests. We like to ask some rapid questions at the end of the episode. So that will go by pretty quick. But before we get to that, do you have any advice for people out there who might be aspiring Wheel of Time artists?
Okay, wow. Well, I think it's probably impossible now. My first thing was going to be read the books before you dive into expressing stuff from the show. But that's my opinion because I started in the books. People are probably coming to the books through the show now, so that might be kind of obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
But I think definitely I would say, well, I guess it doesn't matter. If you're just going to do fan art for the show, that's cool. Just do that and explore that. And that's a whole other turning thing going on that's happening there. And you can explore that to your heart's content. I would say just don't be worried about what people are going to think of it, and try to find something that you really love in the fandom. If you want to express something creatively in the fandom, go for it, because it's a rich tapestry of people that are creating all kinds of different things out there in relationship to the Wheel of Time. And, you know, from newspapers to maps to art to podcasts and shows and everything, right? So there's so many people, music, like, it's pretty wild. So
yeah,
I would say, and writing, like, just find what you love and go for it, and then see what happens, right? You're going to find a little niche in the community that you really identify with, and that whose work is like relevant to your work, and you guys can jam out together and communicate yeah. around it, and then you'll have opportunities to share with the greater community too, and it's wonderful. So that would be my encouragement. Just go for it. Don't worry about getting things right or perfect or whatever. Make it and share it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks.
All right. So rapid questions. Just answer first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay.
Don't think too much about it.
Uh-oh.
It's you know, nothing too difficult, I don't think.
Okay.
Although sometimes it surprises us. People will like get really stuck and feel yeah. a lot of pressure, but there really is no pressure.
Yeah, I think I just started sweating.
Forever held to this. I mean, like, you said that. No.
Yeah, it is going to be recorded for, you know,
yeah, yeah.
for all time.
Yeah.
Anas, do you want to start or do you want me to start?
Why don't you start?
Okay. Favorite Wheel of Time book?
The Great Hunt.
Favorite character?
Ooh, Rand.
Well, that answers the next question, which is Perrin, Matt, or Rand?
Perrin.
That's good. All right. What about Min, Elaine, or Avienda?
Oh. Min.
Yes, we're team Min on this podcast, so happy with that answer. Favorite episode or scene from the TV series?
Wow. Oh boy. Okay, let's see. Oh man, this is a loaded question.
But first instinct, you know, your first instinct.
The first thing that comes to my mind. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I'm blanking. I don't know. That's why I'm trying to think what was my favorite scene. Wow.
It could be an episode too.
Yeah.
Or just a general plot line even, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Whenever in doubt, just live here.
No.
Yeah, no. I was going to say, like, that. So season two, I really enjoyed the Lanfear storyline. I did. I don't know if that makes me bad or what, but I really did enjoy it. I thought she was great.
Yeah, that was perfect. Perfect answer.
We have a longstanding feud over that. I think it's your turn. Go ahead.
Yes. Favorite actor on the show?
Daniel Henney.
Favorite new character in season two, other than Lanfear?
Favorite new character season two. Oh, shoot. What was her name? I really loved the character. Oh, that's terrible. Egwene's tormentor.
Rena?
Oh, Rena.
Rena. Mm,
yeah. Great performance. Great performance. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right, brutal stuff.
A couple of theorizing questions. Is Maxim, Elan's warder, a dark friend?
Really?
This is a theory people have been discussing.
Okay, I'm missing out on all this conversation here.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. Now I'm like I got to go back and watch it. I'm like, "Wait, what?"
Do you want us to tell you why people are saying this?
I'm curious, yeah.
Dragonmount found an image, or they zoomed in on an image from episode 7. Of Maxim kind of lounging in Kyrian in the courtyard, and he's making a symbol with his hands, like with his thumb in between his fingers, that's like described in the books as like a dark friend.
It's a black Aja.
Or a black Aja symbol. Interesting. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And it could be, you know, could be
nothing.
Could be nothing, but it's like, wow, that could fit.
Maybe.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I didn't have an inkling towards that.
He's a very likable character. So
he is very likable, but that could be a reason why you make him.
It's true. It's true.
And this is again, you know, with the show, like, is that a dark friend? Is that Lanfear? Like, it's like, you know, like sure. same questions. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Maxim's buddy Ivan sort of just wanders off in that same episode, and we don't see him again for the rest of the season.
Right.
So where do you think he went?
I don't know. He joined the Tinkers.
Okay. That's a good one. Love that. That's
a good one. Think we've heard a lot of, like, he went to the loo. That's the first thing most people come up with. Yeah. But I love that where the next time we see Aaron, totally. He's just going to be chilling with the Tinkers. That's awesome. if we never see Ivan again, that is my headcanon.
Yep.
All right. Favorite Wheel of Time cover art?
Ooh.
And if you want, you could, you know, ebook, but you want to, you could Daryl P. Sweet versus.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm thinking,
or you could choose two.
I'm thinking of the ebooks. I love the. Ooh, who was the artist now? And which book was it for? It might have been The Dragon Reborn. It's the one where Rand is sitting with the banner on his lap underneath a tree. There's a wall behind him. Oh, who's the artist?
Might be The Great Hunt or The Dragon Reborn. I think maybe The Great Hunt.
I love that. I love that cover. That's an ebook.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's The Dragon Reborn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's burning me up that I can't remember the artist's name. I hate that. Because I always want people to remember my name when they're talking about my work. And I'm like, I don't remember the artist's name. It's a beautiful piece, though.
But yeah, Dragon Banner, Rand, and a tree. I mean, that just harkened back to a lot of art that you've done. The ebook stuff is surprisingly, like, the Perrin one, obviously. That's the one that...
Mm-hmm. That's really good, too. Yeah, Sam Weber.
Yeah.
Sam Weber's brilliant. He's so good.
I love the one of Nynaeve drowning. That's my favorite one, I think.
Oh, the new spring one is so good.
They're all amazing. Mm-hmm. So the Dragon Reborn ebook cover was by Donato Giancola.
It was him. Okay, I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
He did it. He's done a ton of beautiful, actually I have his book somewhere. It's in my closet. It did a beautiful whole bunch of artwork for Lord of the Rings. Just incredible stuff. Yeah.
And then our last question for you. If you could pick one Wheel of Time book cover to redo in your own style, which one would you do?
Man, this is a good question because somebody actually put it out there to me a long time ago about redoing some of the book covers as like an art project for Wheel of Time fan art. I was like, that'd be really cool. So the question that they were proposing to me was taking like the original book covers and like redrawing them in my own style. And I was like, I think I would probably like re-envision them entirely.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd love to. Memory of Light. I would love to do a book cover for.
All right. I feel like.
Yeah.
I want to know more. Maybe no. Let's not spoil it. Maybe at some point in the future you actually do that. So yeah, let's.
Well, I have. So it's interesting. I have a painting that I started, which I think would be great for a book cover, but maybe too descriptive of some components of the book.
Mm.
But it's Rand with the Chodenkal on on what the heck, the top of the mountain.
Dragon Mountain.
Yeah, my brain. And when he's having his whole existential moment, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Crisis.
Yeah.
And I need to finish it. I'm doing it on canvas. But yeah. I thought that would be a cool image on a book cover.
Mm.
I don't remember which book that was that happened
in. Yeah. Right now. The Gathering Storm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the end of the Gathering Storm. And it's funny how you there's this theme again with Rand holding something, and I feel like that's awesome. That's so great. I love that.
It because it ends the same way it begins. It's like a wheel.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
It's so good.
Yeah, I love that scene. That's probably one of my favorite sequences in the whole series. All that stuff that happens with Rand. With
the veins of gold it's beautiful.
Dragon Mount and everything, like all the stuff, it's crazy.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Corey, for joining us tonight. It's been great to get to know you a little better, know about your artwork. I'm sure people see your art a lot, but maybe don't know much about you. And definitely, those of you who are listening, please support Corey. Join his Patreon, watch his YouTube videos. That's the best way you can repay the artists in our community, is to interact with them and support them. And sharing on social media is one thing, but we get to share that for free. So definitely give your support to Corey and all the other artists we've been talking about the last couple weeks. We may have one more artist to talk to next week. Yeah. So we promised you at least one.
Awesome.
We may have two. So I'll let people see if they can guess who that might be. And yeah, so thank you so much, Corey. And
my pleasure.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for having me here, you guys. This was awesome. Really great conversation. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. If you like what we do here at The Lights Work, please follow us on social media. You can sponsor us on Patreon as well, or you could follow us on Twitter at LightsWorkPod, on Instagram at The Lights Work. And we also have a lovely Discord server where folks have been sharing some of their favorite pieces of Wheel of Time art in our discussion channel. And until next time, it's your turn to go out into the world and do The Lights Work. The Lights Work is a Wheel of Time fandom podcast, hosted by Anas and Grace.
The Light's Work is in no way affiliated with the Children of the Light.
Please leave us a review on your podcast platform of choice, follow us on social media, or sponsor us on Patreon.